Hello.
I'm August.
And I'm Kendra.
And you're listening to Book Dumb, a bookcast brought to you by a couple of dummies.
This week, we are doing something very different. I'm sure you saw by the title. We are doing a Q&A this week, just because we've been doing the podcast for a little over 8 months. And wow. I know we have like 35 episodes, almost 35 episodes out. Insane.
Wow. All I can say.
Like, wow. And yeah, so this is a chance for you to ask us any kind of silly questions, serious questions, questions related to reading or books, or just questions about us or life in general. Not that we know much about life in general.
Nothing at all, I can say. I can guarantee that it's little to none.
I agree. So we thought it would just be fun to talk about ourselves for an hour instead of a book.
Yeah, and talk about each other, get to hype each other up. I think that's like our proper, like real full-time job is each other's hype man. So ready for it, living for it. We got some really good questions. I'm excited for this.
We really did. We might not get to all of them. Actually, there's no way we can get to all of them. Yeah. We will do our best. So if you didn't hear your question, I'm really sorry. We'll hopefully do another Q&A at some point, and then we'll try to get your question in there.
Or reach out to us independently, and we can just chat about it. We're pretty good about responding to messages, I think.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Okay, but so before we jump into the Q&A, do you want to tell me what you're reading right now?
I do. I am reading Arsenic and Adobo by Mia P. Manansala, which is a new release this year, and I actually just got the audiobook on my walk home from work today. And so I'm only 30 minutes in. It's so far really funny. It's really dark.
Nice.
I mean, Arsenic is in the title. So I was like, yeah. Say less. It's on my plate.
Nice. And where are you listening to it?
Through Libby. Woo, woo. We love Libby. If you have a library card, get free audiobooks.
Mm-hmm. It's a great app. Love it. Most used app for sure. I'm also listening to a book on Libby right now, and it's The Heart of a Dog by Michael Bulagov, also the author of Master and Margarita, one of my all-time favorites. So really enjoying that. It's very funny. The person who is reading it has been doing a lot of fun dog sounds, like howling and everything. So it's really entertaining to listen to. And also Bulagov is just like fucking funny. And I love hearing, or I love reading his books.
So it's amazing.
Mm-hmm. I think you really got to read it. That and Master and Margarita, we got to make it happen.
I know, I'm going to do Master and Margarita first for sure. Just who knows when it will happen.
Soon. It better be soon.
I keep saying I do. It's a book I actively want to read, but there are probably about 50 books I actively want to read in the same way.
Maybe that should be the one that we read together for my birthday.
If that's what you would prefer, it is your birthday. So
I'll let you know. I get a force Kendra to read a book that she typically would not read for my birthday, so I think everyone knows what I'm picking, but I changed my mind.
I'm just gonna be a good friend and read it no matter what it is, and with an open mind, open heart.
Mm-hmm. Good, as it should be. So should we jump on into this?
Yeah, do you want to pick our first question to answer?
Sure, I'll just start at the very beginning. First one, should we mention the names of who sent them or not?
I don't know, because we didn't ask like for consent. So I'm thinking maybe no.
Okay. So we're just going to let everyone know we got these questions sent to us on Instagram. Our Instagram is Booktown Podcast. We forgot to ask if it's okay if we can use people's usernames when recording this. So just to be careful, we're not going to include everybody or anybody's question. Or I can't just put a thought together. Wow.
You're okay.
We're not going to put people's users' names when answering the questions, just because privacy is a thing that we value. So if you wanted credit for your question, let us know and we'll find a way to give you credit.
Yeah.
Sound fair?
Sounds good to me.
Okay. Wow. It took me like a way too long to get through that. Holy smokes. Today has drained me completely. Head empty, zero thoughts. What's new? Okay. So the first question that we got was, if you had to pick one book for the whole world to read, which one would you pick?
You know, it's funny because I looked through all of these questions and I'm already stumped. Do you have one immediately in mind?
No, I want to hear yours first.
Okay, so mine's actually going to be the Giving Tree, because I think especially the way it's talked about right now, using it as a metaphor for equity, it's a great book because not only is it like about being generous, but also knowing like your own limits, acknowledging what you have been given, whether that's like, you know, lessons, wisdom, or if it's like actual privilege. And I just think it's a really great book. And I think the kid is kind of an asshole at the end for depleting the resources of that giving tree, but it's a great conversation to have with people of all ages.
I think that's a great pick. That makes me feel really shallow and stupid, because I was like, what book would I want everyone to read so I can talk to them about it whenever I wanted?
That's not shallow.
It's just maybe a little bit more selfish than spreading equity, which is a great thing. And I'm glad that you answered that way. But I'm like looking at my shelves. I don't know, man. You're right. I already am stumped.
That make you feel better. I wanted to say Frankenstein selfishly, but I was like.
Okay, so that would be your selfish pick. And then your generous pick is the Giving Tree. Mm-hmm. I would say my selfish pick would probably be, I think Persepolis would be my pick. I've talked about this book a lot. It's by Marjane Satrapi. I've said their name incorrectly before, and I apologize. This is just a great graphic novel. I think this is one that anyone can benefit and grow from. Looking around my room at like all my books, it is the first one that like really jumps out at me, just because I also like truly love that book. Another book that came to mind is Educated by Tara Westover. Mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of people could benefit from a lot of these stories that Tara shares in that memoir. Could be beneficial to a lot of people when thinking about education and just what certain people want out of life and how it's different for all people.
I love that. Wow, those are both really great picks. I'm gonna rubber stamp.
Great picks all around.
Yeah, it's true. Okay, are we ready for the next one?
Sure.
Have you felt like you've already read your favorite book?
I mean, yeah. Because Just Kids, it's behind me. My copies behind me right now. Mm-hmm. I don't know if anything's like, unless Patty like writes another book that's somehow better, which I don't honestly see happening. But yeah, Just Kids.
I don't think I've read my all-time favorite book yet. I think I have periods of my life where books will always be special to that period. But I don't know. I think if I had thought that I'd already read my favorite book, for me personally as a reader, that would be really sad and would like demotivate me for reading. Is demotivate even a word? I don't know. But you understand what I meant. Yeah. So I like to think that my favorite book is still coming.
Yeah, I like that. I like thinking that there's so much great like literature out there to read and eventually get to. I've read Patti Smith's Just Kids every single year since I was like 19. And I'm just really happy with that being my all-time fave and still loving other books that I read along the way.
Of course, yeah.
Okay, on to the next one. What's each of your favorite cozy drink and food item? A not book-related question.
Love that.
While reading?
So I'd probably say coffee, and for snack, I don't know, with a coffee and a pastry, like a little croissant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely like cappuccino and, I don't know, some sort of fruit pastry, coffee cake, if I'm being generous with myself.
Nice. Okay, so this actually is a really good question. This is a two-parter. It's part of one question. And we can decide if we want to answer this. What jobs are you both at, if you're comfortable about talking about it? Asking because I just got a BA in Lit and I don't know what to do, which is relatable. Grad school or look for a job?
So I'm currently applying around for new positions and pretty far in an interview process with a certain spot that I'm just not going to name because I don't want to jinx it happening, but it's been a lengthy interview process and I'm feeling really good about my application. But right now I also work for an educational nonprofit in the Bay Area where I tutor middle and high school students. And then I work at a life-sucking tutoring center, which can I say that I despise every minute of it? I think it's corrupt and awful and I hate that I work there and I try to be a nice light for the kids because they also don't want to be there. We're probably going to cut this out because I don't know if they can find it, but hate it.
That's okay. I mean, didn't say the name, and capitalism compromises all of our ethics, so you're fine. Yeah,
and just like for-profit educational institutions are inherently evil, and yeah, I despise every single second of it, but I have to pay rent somehow, so.
Yep. Yeah, it's not your fault. It's the institution. The institution's deeply rooted in white supremacy and misogyny. Mm-hmm. We don't love. Actually, we hate. Mm-hmm. Similar to August, I actually, I just got a new job, which is very exciting. Same place. I'm very happy. It's at this point in my life, my dream job. And so it's like really great. But it's also an educational nonprofit where I coordinate workshops that are writing workshops for, they're all free for youth in the Bay Area. I work for a nonprofit that has a variety of workshops and writing programs. Mine specifically are focused on like people who identify as writers and come in during like non-school hours. So late at night, sometimes after school. And I also do like data evaluations for the organization so that we can measure student success and student growth. And I mentioned that because when I finished my BA in English, I would have told you I was bad at data, and I want you to like really branch out and trust yourself and see that there's like lots of practical, well, everything's practical, but lots of different applications of an English degree.
Yeah. And I guess like also during this time, I should maybe say that I'm also in school because I hate myself and I'm getting a second master's degree. And yeah. So that's also not a job, but it takes up a lot of my time. So just noting that, throwing that out there.
Well, it's a stepping stool for a job you very much want later on, right? So
yes. Yeah. Just making those small steps, getting there slowly but surely.
Yeah. And I would also say that like grad school is also a really great option. I have no regrets about grad school. So if that's what you're leaning towards, although I would recommend just making sure you're like financially stable and in a place to do that. Don't. Okay. Yeah. But there are a lot of different options for an English degree.
On to the next question. What got you into reading as a child?
Came from like a very literary household. So especially with my sisters, books were just like omnipresent, which is great. And so it just felt very natural to pick up a book and to read. I would say there was this book series called, I don't think it was called The Princess Diaries because it's not like Anne Hathaway Princess Diaries, but it was like fictional. I think it was The Royal Diaries, like fictional tellings of like famous girls and women throughout history, and it was like their alleged diaries, and I devoured like every single version of those books, but especially like the Anastasia one I loved. So that's what got me hooked.
Very nice, and also very fitting that it's Anastasia for you. Yeah. Just seems right, that time period and everything. For me, my sister and I am a twin. Her and I were both obsessed with the book Where the Red Fern Grows from a very young age, which is a depressing ass dog book, which I think says a lot about our family that we were read a very depressing dog book as small, small children. And we would ask our dad when he would read it to us, we're like, Dad, could you please read the sad part? And we just wanted to cry. So the Braddock family, we love to see it. Probably that. Also like really loved the Magic Treehouse books growing up. Like those were great. I like really struggled with learning how to read. Like took me a while to feel like get on the same level as a lot of my classmates. So I feel like I was reading like a lot of those styles of books later than more people my age. So just spent a lot of time with them. Goosebumps was solid.
Oh, Goosebumps.
I love Goosebumps. Yeah. Scary Stories Not to Tell in the Dark. Like all Halloween children's books.
Mm-hmm. Magic.
Spooky and everything sad.
I was gonna say, like, you talking about reading the sad book for fun, I was like, that makes so much sense. It's me.
I've always been this way.
Okay, so what is your TBR for the upcoming Halloween season? Not system, the upcoming Halloween season. An all-time favorite fall read.
Ooh, okay. I'm really excited to read The Secret History this fall. We're doing it together. Mm-hmm. Really looking forward to that. I have it literally right behind me. So very excited for that one. And then my favorite fall read, I mean, give me a minute to think of that mm-hmm. one. Do you have any responses for this question?
Yeah, I'm also obviously reading Secret History with you, so I'm really excited for that. But also I have a leftover summer read that I didn't get to this summer, and that's The Maidens. So ooh. I've heard that it has a lot to do with dark academia, so I'm excited for that.
Love it. My all-time favorite fall read, maybe like In Cold Blood, or it has to be something kind of dark. Maybe Frankenstein, honestly, or Dracula, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. I think those are all like really fun, like relatively like easier classics to read during the fall.
I love that. Support that. I think mine's going to be Pet Sematary, which I read for the first time last year. Nice. But I would read it again. It just felt like the perfect, like I read in the beginning of October and I was like, I am ready for Halloween.
I'm so ready. I've been reading like a lot of dark academia books this last month just to prepare, because, you know, for me, it's almost time to get out the Halloween decorations, and it is still August when we're recording this. So
September 1st, I'm putting them up.
Do it. Yeah. Just need all the little bats everywhere. Okay. On to the next one. Do we have any tips on writing a thesis for uni, not in literature? I can't say anything for outside of literature. We both did our master's theses in literature. Mm-hmm. I would say just like be organized and talk to your thesis advisors as much as you can.
A big thing that really helped me with the like actual writing was making myself have like a word goal for each day. And that could be like, even if I'm just like kind of word vomiting stuff that comes to mind, because I would find myself, like if I was writing 1,000 words a day, I would find myself rediscovering new ideas, even when I was like, okay, I'm fucking spent, like I have nothing else. And that really helped. And I would say, yeah, lean on your support system, whether that's your advisor, your supervisor, your colleagues, your family. I think thesis writing is a really isolating time, and I would just vocalize that you need whatever support you need.
Also, like writing groups are great. I was in a couple when I was working on mine, especially when COVID hit, because I was working on mine when shelter in place started. So having those writing groups just like really kept me on schedule. We all had like expectations set for one another. So like holding each other accountable was very important and helpful for me.
Yes. Oh my God. I'm just sorry. More things are coming. I would also really recommend, because this is something I did late stage in my thesis that I wish I'd started earlier, is create a Google spreadsheet or Excel, like whatever you're comfortable with or however you manage data or information, and organize like the title and the links to any articles you even just casually peruse, because I can't tell you how many times I will like skim read an article, be like, that's not useful, close it out, go on to read more stuff and realize I need that article. So even if you just like open it out of curiosity and then just label it, like color code it with like, this was helpful, I want to go back to this, don't need this. So then you can always just change those colors.
Yeah, I did a similar thing, but I had it on my quotes document. I had a document where I like had all the quotes that I thought were going to be useful when I was writing and doing my research. And so along with like having the actual citation listed, I also had like links to all the databases, or if I had a physical copy of it or not, just to have that all organized. And then you can also be a little crazy like me and organize your quote document by your sections that you're working on. I found that mm-hmm. to be just really helpful for organizing my research.
Oh my gosh, that's for sure how I start writing. I can't do anything until I've inserted my quotes in the proper sections.
Oh God, we're just so similar.
Oh my gosh. Am I reading? I'm reading this one, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Do you annotate all of your books, and what determines whether you do or not?
If I'm reading a physical copy these days, I'm pretty much do light annotations at least, like, you know, basic underlining or whatever, unless of course it's like a library book or I'm borrowing it from somebody. So pretty much, yeah. I only like heavily annotate books when I'm really into them, or if I'm studying them for like a class or an episode that we're recording or something like that.
Mm-hmm. But the same, I don't like naturally annotate as often as I used to. Really, if we're going to talk about it for the podcast, or if I know like I identify this as like canonical literature or literary fiction, then I'll usually annotate it. But to be honest, if I'm just like reading a light piece of fiction for fun, I'm probably not going to annotate it.
Can you recommend a fluffy book to get me through my final research papers? This is a good one.
I love fluffy books, so I have quite a few immediately. I liked Honey Girl a lot. Howl's Moving Castle is my favorite fluff book. It's not even fluff. It is fluff. It's casual. Do you have any fluff?
I'm not the biggest fluff reader. I feel like that's something that I just typically don't gravitate towards. Nothing wrong with it, just not necessarily for me. A book that I found that was really quick that I found to be enjoyable, I don't know if this would like work with you or not, is Annihilation. That one I just thought was like a really fun one to like read. Like it was really engaging, but it was really short, and I don't like science fiction at all typically. So that maybe Song of Achilles is sad, but like always a fun one to go to. And even like Ariadne, we just read that.
Oh yeah.
That's
a good fluff one. They Both Die at the End is also a really good fluff one.
Oh, one of my students is reading that right now.
Yeah, it's really sad. Oh my gosh, and The Midnight Library was a really good fluff one as well.
Yeah, I can't think of any other.
How do you get through reading books for school that you despise?
You talk shit on them with your classmates and just roast them and rip it apart. It's the only way to do it.
That's such a good question. Person who asked that, because it sucks. I'm thinking of Blood Meridian, where I was like committed to not.
I was the like one of the only, there was two people in that class that liked that book, and I was one of them.
Yeah.
Disappointing.
Which, I mean.
Disappointing. That's what it is. I'm just thinking of Bleak House. I'm looking at it right now. It haunts me.
Honestly, I wish I had more concrete advice other than like, I just really, really didn't want to do poorly in that class. And so I think that what got me through Blood Meridian was like having chunks of time where I was like, I'm not allowed to do anything else but read. And I know that's not like the best advice, because I'm sure that's something you're already doing.
Yeah. But sometimes you really just have to sit down and make yourself read a bad book. Like when I was reading Bleak House, I would be like, okay, I'm setting my timer for an hour and I'm going to read that entire time. I'm going to annotate and like do everything that I need to do. But then at least like if you really hate a book, think of how nice it's going to be ripping it to shreds in discussion or in papers. So
yeah. Oh, that's actually a really good point. This sucks because I want to tell you just like don't fucking read it. But like I know that you have to for school. I don't want you to get a bad grade. You know what's funny with Blood Meridian? I have a friend who's currently reading it. And they were like, they're also hating it, which they were surprised because they love Cormac McCarthy's other books. And they were like, they got to a point where they were like, I'm just telling myself to get to the next word. So like, if that's what helps you get through the book, August is making the saddest face.
That hurts my heart so much. I understand that book's not for everybody, but I love that book.
Of course. And I mean, whatever book you are reading for school, I know it's going to be daunting to think like, oh my God, there's like 40,000 words in this book, but just get to the next word.
Who knows? Like maybe everyone in your class will hate it and you guys will have a really fun time talking about it. Next one, do we have any hobbies outside of reading? They also love the podcast. Thank you. What do you do outside of reading, Kendra?
I know there are things I do. I just can't think of them. I really like crosswords. Like I love crosswords. I just ordered a new book of crosswords because I just finished the other one. I love going to the park. I love cooking. I love baking. I'm a occasional cross stitcher. I don't do it as often as I used to, but I do really enjoy that. And I know there are other things. I just can't think of it. Oh, hiking. I love hiking.
Very nice. Very, very cool. This question is like eerily familiar for me because it's my first day of school today. Lots of introduction blog posts. So what are your hobbies is a frequent question. I really like spending time outside and in the city. We like going to a lot of parks. We go to parks together a lot too, you and I. Mm-hmm. When movie theaters are open, I love going to the movies. Castro Theater in San Francisco, best place in the city. Stand by it. Love it so much. Also Balboa Theater is really great too. I cross stitch a lot. I'm working on one for Kendra right now, which she knows about, which I ran out of a color of thread on. So I have to go to the store and get more. Spending time outside, being in nature, listening to music, stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. Love that. All great options. Do you have any general rules you follow for DNFing a book? How early can you usually tell it isn't for you?
I typically don't DNF books. I usually feel like I do like a decent amount of just like general research into a book before I pick it up. I have like a general vibe of what it's going to be like, what it's going to be about, the style in which it's written. And so typically I'm only reading things where I go in with the expectation of thinking that it's decent. But even if something's really bad, like I hated Dark Places and I just pushed through it because I'm like, well, what if it gets good? Finished Great Believers, even though it was also horrible. But I don't know. Sometimes I just suffer through it and I don't know why.
That's okay. I mean, that's your reading style and that's entirely valid. I do DNF, but that's very new for me. Not to try to convert you, August, but I'm a much happier reader now that I do. I don't really have general rules. Honestly, there are books that I've DNF'd that I'm like, I would go back to it. It's just when I'm not enjoying it or I find, like, I've always been the kind of reader where I can easily visualize what's happening. And I'm as soon as I put it down, I'm very eager to pick it back up. So when I'm hooked on a book, I like fly through it. If I don't have that feeling within the first 30, maybe 50 pages, maybe 100 if it's like a highly rated book, I just don't waste my time with it because my time to me is just too valuable to be like miserable reading.
Yeah. And I think that's totally understandable. I think also like something that's helping me right now, like only like actually reading things that I genuinely want to read is I'm such a mood reader. And I'm also trying to read a lot of the physical books that I already own, which are books that I've either gotten myself because I thought that they were going to be interesting or books that have been given to me by friends. So if they think that I'm going to like them, I'm probably going to like them a decent amount. So I think that's also helping me like not having to DNF books that often.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A point.
Yeah. And then Kendra asked, why is August so much cooler than Kendra?
That's not what I asked.
I don't know why. Like, I don't know how I do it. I just think I, you know, knock it out of the park all the time.
I'm going to put you in the waiting room.
No, you're not. Because I know The Sopranos so much better than you do. I think that really ups my cool factor. You know, I got the Tony energy going through me, which you don't even understand. Yeah, I think that's the main reason why I'm so much cooler than you. What are your thoughts?
I can't wait to cut this out in the editing process.
I'll just put it back in. Well, why do you think that you're cooler than me, huh?
I don't. I just wanted to troll. That's my whole life. I know you're, August is legitimately the coolest person I know. Like, I talk... I know, like, I'm not, it's, I don't mean it as a compliment, but I don't mean it as an insult either. Like, August is like the most genuinely cool, authentic, hip person.
That's what I can say about you.
No. This is different. Queen. This is totally objective. If you've seen August's Instagram, you've heard her talk, this stuff she likes, she is like cool, like capital COOL. We're like, I'm nice.
I'm saying you're capital COOL, maybe even KOOL for Kendra, you know?
Or KEWL. I'm more like cool. And you're like cool. You're like, you're classic.
I think I would want to be cool. Cool, like cowabunga cool, you know?
Oh my gosh.
My dream. Let's go on from here. Wow, there's so much. Someone is asking about any overlap experience with our love for literature and also our love for film and just art in general. There's any overlap there? I think, so my roommate and I, Clementine and I, were talking about how Hannibal the TV show is if Oscar Wilde was going to write a show about a cannibalistic killer. And I stand by that.
I love that.
We found a dissertation on it. It's not our original idea, but... we are interested in that dissertation.
Oh my gosh, that's really interesting. I would just say my devil fetish spans across all media forms. I just love shows about devilish people and figures and representations of heaven and hell. But also anytime I see like a painting or a photograph with like dark demonic energy, I'm like, that's fascinating.
You love it. Yeah, I'd love say it. For me, it's like women covered in blood. just like anything gory, like anything that's pretty distinctly American, especially like Southern America. I don't know, like Texas, like the Southern states. Just, I love those narratives so much. And I love the art that came out of there as well. I don't know. I'm just a big American goth.
I love that for you.
Thank you. I love it for me too.
Okay, so fuck J.K. Rowling, but what are your Hogwarts houses?
I think that, so every single time I took the test, I was a Slytherin or a Ravenclaw. It was like always 50-50. So that's my answer.
Slytherin claw. Same. Although one time I got a Gryffindor, which I don't acknowledge that because I don't like Gryffindor.
I don't think that you are. I think you're a Ravenclaw through and through.
I think I'm a Ravenclaw sun with a Slytherin moon, for sure.
That doesn't mean anything to me.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Oh. I don't like the astrology.
I only do because of Emily, and she's only explained like rising sun, moon.
I only know from those meme sets that have been going around.
Oh, love those.
So quality. Someone's asking what our favorite album is of all time. This is like constantly changing. I don't know if I could answer that.
I was just thinking, I don't think I can answer this. This is really not a fun answer. And actually, I hate being asked music questions because even though I listen to music constantly, I just don't listen to cool music. But I think my favorite album, like the one I legitimately listen to all the time, is the Trent Reznor Macbeth soundtrack. Wait, was that Trent Reznor? I'm gonna triple check.
Hans Zimmer? No.
I don't think it's Hans Zimmer, but I'll double check.
I mean, I love a good soundtrack. Soundtracks are great. Westworld, quality.
Oh, I was wrong. It's Jed Krizel, who also does Game of Thrones. So my favorite album, which is not a fun answer, is the Macbeth original motion picture soundtrack by Jed Krizel, who's done a bunch of other things. Also did like Assassin's Creed. Like, it's just, I love movie and video game soundtracks so much.
Yeah. They're great. It's also great writing music or reading music as well. Like, we both love the Westworld soundtrack, specifically season one. So good. I'm trying to think of other soundtracks that are good. The Midsummer is really good for if you want like spooky Halloween energy, like if you're having a Halloween party, would recommend. For a favorite like general album, I think my most listened to album of all time is probably Hot Fuss by The Killers. Been listening to that since it came out. Still love it. Still listen to it all the time. But I think probably a Talking Heads album in reality, like for now, 77, or like the name of this band is Talking Heads, which is one of their live albums, which is so good. Stop Making Sense, also quality. Mm-hmm. Watch the concert, so good. It's probably one of those. Or an indie pop album. The Idiot's Looking at Me Right Now. It's on my turntable. Okay. Let's go on. What are our favorite movies?
I have like a newfound obsession. Not newfound, in the past recent, like four years. I'm obsessed with the Jurassic Park movies. I love monster movies. They're cheesy, but I love them. But Jurassic Park is essential. I also love Howl's Moving Castle, Spirited Away, anything Studio Ghibli.
Love all of those as well. My favorite movie, controversial, we don't acknowledge the directors, Rosemary's Baby. I love Mia Farrow. She wore her own clothes for that movie, and every single outfit's iconic, and I don't think anyone can do it like her. So Rosemary's Baby. Also love Silence of the Lambs. Mm-hmm. I can watch that movie like any goddamn day. I think I know like every single word to both of those movies at this point. Also really love like classic noir. How am I forgetting it? Like The Big Sleep, I love watching. Mm-hmm. Grew up watching movies like The Sting, stuff like that. And then all the Studio Ghibli movies and Wes Anderson movies as well.
Oh my God, Fantastic Mr. Fox. That's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Oh, it's so cute. I'm so excited for French Dispatch. Really, really glad to come out.
Such a great cast. I also love Greta Gerwig's Little Women. I watch that every year.
We saw that in theaters together.
Me too.
It was really good. Yeah. I also really liked Lady Bird. A little too relatable at times.
Yep.
Okay. So this is one that is a question that we always struggle with. We might not be able to answer it, but what actors or actresses would you cast in an adaptation of your favorite book? So Kendra, what is your favorite book that you would have to cast?
I guess I'm going to cast Frankenstein.
Okay. So who would be the creature?
I was just telling August, this is such a great question, but I always bristle because I am so bad at casting. Okay, so the creature, I actually want to cast Idris Elba because I love that man and he mm-hmm. has so much versatility, and I feel like he could really capture like the intellect why can't I say the intellect of the creature that's not necessarily picked up by everyone else. And then for Frankenstein, I would cast like Tom Hiddleston, someone who can like pull off a sexy, crazy guy.
Okay. If I was going to cast Frankenstein, I think for Frankenstein, I would cast Cillian Murphy as Frankenstein. And the creature I would do, I'm just trying to think of like really like big. And the only person I can think of is John Cena. Which I would not cast him in it.
You wouldn't be able to see him anyway.
If we could do at any time period, like a younger Jack Nicholson, that's what I would do. And then my favorite book is Just Kids. So it would be Patti Smith and Robert Mapplethorpe. I think Patti Smith could have been played by Kate Blanchett or maybe even Liv Tyler at a certain point of their lives. I don't know about when that book takes place, she's in her early 20s. And then Robert Mapplethorpe, I don't know.
I might do like Rami Malek for Mapplethorpe. I don't know exactly what quality is striking me, but.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe even like somebody like Tom Hiddleston. I don't know. I would want it to be a queer actor playing him. And just nobody is coming to mind right now. So I feel really bad about that. Maybe Lee Pace at a certain point of his life. I think he would have done a good job for that because he's also like scrawny little beautiful boy.
Mm. How did you know you wanted to teach literature?
For me, I don't think that I necessarily want to be like teaching forever. I do love teaching. I think it was mainly like wanting to study literature and like this is the main career path. So it's kind of like a thing that's talked about a lot when you're studying literature. Like, what are you going to do? What are you going to teach when you get out? So I feel like I kind of went in with that mindset. And that's another reason why I'm getting my new master's degree, so I can eventually pursue other options that are still like working with the community and supporting literacy, but not directly through instruction.
Mm-hmm. I love teaching in general. I find a lot of joy in like especially interacting with youth. I knew I wanted to teach literature specifically because for me personally, like literature is such a safe space, and I so enjoy the collaborative dialogue that can like really develop when you're working with a dense piece of literature or just like a really interesting piece of literature. And I'd say like when teaching literature, my favorite thing about it is learning from the students themselves and like the different perspectives they bring into a piece, and it just enriches a text to me each time I go back to it.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's always so great like being with young people as they like discover certain texts or certain things that they end up really valuing. I feel like that's just such a enlightening and just really happy experience for everybody involved. And I do love that. It's just not for me long term.
Yeah, of course.
What inspired us to pursue master's degrees in literature? Any regrets surrounding that choice?
No regrets for sure. Zero. I think I just wasn't ready to enter the workforce, mostly. And I felt like I finished my undergrad degree thinking that I just still hadn't learned enough. And I also had the same feeling when finishing my graduate degree. So that just like the more you learn, the less you feel you know. And so, yeah. And also it was just from a genuine love of the material where I was like, if I could just study literature for the rest of my life and do that as a career, I would do that.
Yeah. I definitely felt the same way. And we did our bachelor's degrees in English education with emphasis in literature. So we took a lot of literature classes, but we also took a lot of classes based on pedagogy. And so I feel like when I graduated, I wanted to be a better literary scholar. I wanted to be a better reader. And so pursuing a master's degree in literature just seemed like the right option for that. And yeah, zero regrets going into that. I feel like it definitely helped prepare me for the work that I'm currently doing and also the work that I would like to do. Definitely learned a lot, and I'm just very grateful for all the experiences that I had.
What is a book you'd like to read by the end of 2021 that you predict will be a 5-star?
I really want to read White Teeth by Zadie Smith. I'm really excited for that one. I think probably I have a fall holiday for school. That's probably when I'm going to be reading that one. So that's the end of November, I think. I'm not sure. And then I'm also reading Stoner by John Williams right now. I've been taking a lot of time with this book just because it's really intense and I'm enjoying it a lot. And I definitely think it's going to be a 5-star. I have like 90 pages left. So,
wow. Cool. For me, the immediate book that came to mind is Betty by Tiffany. I think it's McDaniel. I think it's McDaniel, but it's that book I've been talking about since the beginning of 2021, but I know it's very like steeped in trauma. So I just haven't quite felt ready for that yet. But I'm very excited to read that. And I honestly feel like it's going to be 5 stars.
Yeah. Oh, can I name another? Cause it just came, it's like right behind me. So I just thought of it, but it's The Thieves Journal by Jean Genet. I've never read anything by him. I read a portion of, I think it's called The Thieves Journal. I could be wrong. No, that's the book that I want to read. No, Motorcycle something. I don't know, but I read a portion of it and it was great. And I'm really excited for that one as well.
Hurrah.
I feel like my head is so empty. Like it's extra zero thoughts today.
It's just
all that introduction work at school. Also, I don't know if people can hear this in the background, but I live above a restaurant and they're like kind of yelling at each other right now. So I'm sorry if you hear a bunch of people yelling. It's the restaurant below me. Everyone's okay. The next question, do we want to share what we're choosing as a bookmark?
Yeah, we can do that.
I just have a bookmark that I got from our undergraduates institutions library on banned books. I've had this bookmark for like 4 years and it's the main one that I use.
I'm actually using a new bookmark. I didn't realize I was using it until I was asked this question, but the lovely Jess Decker from Jess Decker Reads sent me a couple books for my birthday. So shout out Jess. Thank you so much. I'm so excited to read both of them, but it came with the Powell's like 100 books or 50 books. The best 50 books of the past 50 years or something. And I just like slipped that into the book I'm currently reading. So very I'm using nice. That one.
That sounds very cute. I love that.
Yeah.
I also just got, so I'm part of Beardsley, Aubrey Beardsley, the illustrator from the Victorian period. I'm a member of like this association for him and his birthday is coming up. And so they sent us bookmarks for that. Yeah. And they're really cute of his illustrations. So I'll probably start using one of those soon.
Love that. Okay, so this is a question only for August because my question or my answer is immediately no, but any tattoos?
Yeah, I have a handful. I don't know. I probably have like around 20. I'm gonna say.
20. Oh my God. I can't believe you're 20 now.
I mean, look at my spaghetti arms.
I mean, I can believe it. You've gotten like 12 in the past year, it seems.
Yeah, I've gone a little crazy ever since. Things have been open since shelter in place for all that loss of time. But to be fair, I did have appointments booked before the shelter in place that made up for afterwards. And I also found some really great artists that I like. So just going to shout out the artist right now. There's Joy from Tuesday Tattoo in San Francisco. Love her. She's my good friend and I love her art. She's just so talented. And then also really cool person, Allie at Magnetic Arts Tattoo in Oakland. She is also very cool. And Allie does a lot of illustrations from antiquity and also just like 1600s through 1800s. So I have a couple pieces from her that are from like actual advertising books and like calling cards from the 1800s and prior. So really love both of them. You should check out their work.
Woo, we love local artists.
Mm-hmm. Okay, next one. What's our ideal reading environments?
That's such a good question. I'm a morning reader, so I'm trying to get into a new routine with a new job. But my ideal, excuse me.
I heard her bite it.
My cat just bit my microphone, so I'm sorry. My ideal situation is being curled up on a couch really early in the morning. I used to be like a rise and shine at 6 a.m. Now I'm closer to like 7, 7:30. So if I can get back into the habit of 6 a.m., when no one else in the world seems like they're up, cup of coffee, curl up on the couch with a blanket, and it's like raining or really cold outside, that's like the perfect place.
Yeah, I love like a cold day for reading. Definitely if it's raining, get some of those ambient soundtracks on YouTube, like the oldies playing in another room while it rains outside, no thunder sounds. Love those. Curled up, I have a really nice front room of my apartment where we have a bay window. So I like sitting in the bay window because it gets a lot of great natural light. I think definitely like natural light and reading is what I prefer. So it at least has to be light outside. That's my main criteria.
It's a good question.
I also love reading outside when we're able to.
Okay, any tips or advice for people who want to start a bookcast, bookstagram, or blog?
I mean, I would think about like the time commitment. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have a lot of fun doing it because we're doing it together. And we're also splitting up the work because we're doing it together. So just like think about how much time you have and also like try to do it with people that you appreciate and want to spend time with because you're going to spend a lot of time with them.
Yeah, I would say just do it. Like literally just do the thing because I think August and I talked about a podcast for years and then one day we're just like, let's just fucking do it. Mm-hmm. And it's been a learning experience. We're still like making mistakes, learning, trying to find a schedule that works for us. It's like an ongoing process. And so I would just dive in and expect that there are going to be bumps and you're going to learn and that every community is improved by the more people who join it. And so don't feel intimidated by like, this is my thought process. I have no idea if this is what you're thinking, question asker, but I was like, well, the world is full of podcasters. The world is full of book podcasters. Like my voice isn't gonna stand out. And I just like, that's just not true. The conversations are better when the more people contribute. My number one advice though, is to get yourself an August who will keep you on top of things, who is the most productive person I know. So
I'm BS on all of this because that's you.
No,
scatterbrained as all hell. So don't even try because you're just saying a whole lot of shit that doesn't make any sense.
That's my experience as your co-host. August is like running to me. She's keeping the ship afloat. Otherwise, I would just be space cadet.
Oh my God. Anxiety brain now. No. I definitely like think like doing it with somebody that you enjoy spending time with makes it a lot more fun. And like also like you're definitely right. Like the more people who contribute to a conversation, ultimately that conversation is enriched. But also like we're doing this mainly because we're having a fun time doing it. And so make sure that you're having a good time and it's not stressing you out and everything too.
Yeah.
Okay. On to the next one. Like how to recognize themes. Is it knowing common symbolism, classic literature savviness?
I would just say it is a little bit, like I would say it's about 30% of recognizing what's essentially common to most literature. And I would say it's about 30% of just practicing. So the more you do it, the more you're going to be able to just pick up on what's like really present in a text. But I'm going to say 40% of it is just what you experience with the text. And so if you think that this theme is very present, but who you're talking to doesn't pick up on that, I'm not going to say that that's not there in the book, which I think, especially when you're studying literature, is not the answer I'm supposed to give you.
But I think it's a totally fair answer to give because like every reading is valid. You want to make sure people feel like validated in their responses to text. Everyone comes to a book with a different experience. So I think like that definitely plays into it. I think a lot of it is also just like practice. So reading a lot, recognizing like certain tropes, like Kendra and I are both really good at predicting what's going to happen in books and movies and television. So a lot of our friends, I feel, who have similar degrees to us, like I know like when some of my friends and I get together, if we watch something new, usually we can predict what's going to happen. If it's like a certain plot, like, or a certain type of narrative that we have studied, we can predict it fairly easily in. And so I think just like being familiar with those types of narratives also helps with identifying like reoccurring themes and imagery throughout. So I think like practice is a big part of that. But also, I mean, if you're reading something and you're like being told that you have to recognize themes and you're struggling with it, I think also like going on tools like Spark Notes and like teacher's guides and everything, you know, like teachers a lot of times say like, don't use those. But if it's something that you're struggling with, those can be a great resource for learning how to identify those themes in the book while you're reading.
So. Yes. I still Google the themes and motifs of a book before I go in, just because I like want a foundation. And I don't always take notes on those that are given to me. What is your go-to author or genre to get you out of a reading slump?
So I would say that I would read for a reading slump probably mystery thriller. I love like a Gone Girl style narrative, or memoirs. I love memoirs. David Sedaris saved me earlier this year. Also really love like Educated by Tara Westover, Patti Smith's Just Kids, I always talk about. And also true crime. It's great. Even listening to like a true crime audiobook just feels like a podcast. It's a lovely experience.
I agree with memoirs. Memoirs really, really pull me out. But definitely fantasy is really cozy for me. So I'll pick that up when I'm really stuck, or any kind of like fluff read. When I'm in a slump, reading something that's like challenging but incredibly rewarding isn't the best for me.
What would you say are the top three books that influenced y'all as readers and academics?
Such a good question. Paige, I'm going to say Paige because we already talk about you all the time.
It's a hard one. I'm immediately going to say The Odyssey is one of mine, because reading classics is what got me into studying literature. And then probably Middlemarch and even maybe a Master and Margarita or Catch 22. Or yeah. Ulysses, like my girl Molly Bloom, gotta include her.
Yes. I want to go with Paradise Lost.
Of course.
Yeah, which is, it's so essential to my academic identity. And as a reader, I genuinely enjoy it. Frankenstein. I know I feel like I've talked about it a lot, but I just love that book so much.
It's a great one, and it's the time of year for it.
It is. I can't wait to reread it with you. I'm going to throw in Sharp Objects because that was just really essential to my reading identity as well.
Perfect book. Mm-hmm. One of our all-time favorites for sure.
Yes. Y'all get so much reading done. Can we know both of your average screen times? Yikes.
Yeah. I feel like I'm not on my phone too much. The only like social media app I have is Instagram, but I do spend a lot of time on the podcast app and Libby. And lately I've had to go on a lot for school for the Canvas app that we use. So right now it's saying that my weekly average is 3 hours and 18 minutes.
Wow. So before I'm now working in person. When I was working at home, I will tell you my weekly average was 5 hours, which is insane. Yeah.
I'm sure mine was similar, like especially earlier in shelter in place.
Because when I saw this question pop up, I was like, ooh, I don't want to answer that. It's like, to me, that's personally high because I don't spend actively a lot of time on my phone. So that meant like, oh, I was doing passive things. But now since I've started a new job in the past 2 weeks, I am down to, for the week, 3 hours and 45 minutes, about 47 minutes. So that's pretty good for me. I do spend quite a bit of time on my phone for work as well, but I won't deny that some of that is for TikTok.
Mm-hmm. Mine is just endless Instagram scrolling and watching random SNL compilations. I don't know why they're targeting me, but I've just been getting a lot of them and I love them. So, and then another question, how do we annotate? We kind of talked about this earlier. I just say that I go with the flow. If I want to underline, I like to underline. I like to bracket. I like to put stars next to things, frowny faces. I don't really write too much in things unless I'm like seriously studying it for a class.
Mm-hmm. If I'm like, sometimes if I'm casually annotating, I'm just talking to the book. So I'll literally put dumb things like LOL, like what the fuck, this seems important. Yeah. But if I'm doing it for a discussion or for a podcast or for like an essay, I have like a color coding system with my tabs. So I do that. Like I assign.
You're wild with your tabs. It's so cute. They like all go down. So they're like perfectly level. Meanwhile, my tabs all over the place, chaotic.
Yeah, I have to do them in like descending order. Otherwise, I don't know. I'm just like very particular with my annotations when I'm serious. And I have like acronyms and just letters for certain things. So like T for themes, obviously, but the specific themes will also have acronyms. So I'll just underline that, write that, put a sticky note in there if I want to.
Wow.
I think part of the reason I don't annotate very often is because when I do annotate, it's like serious business. Yeah.
I mean, I love a good sticky tab. I have like a sticky tab system for most of the books that I read. If it's like, again, one that I'm studying for school or one that I'm really enjoying. So I'll have like one for like when characters first pop up, like their first entrance into the novel or the first time that they were mentioned, like reoccurring elements, like reoccurring imagery or themes, stuff like that. But again, that's only if I'm reading a novel for school or with like a book club or something.
Same. Yeah.
Nice. Okay, we got a couple more questions here. What are y'all's desert island reads or movies?
Wow, that's a great question. That must have been late in the stage.
Yeah, we just got this one in hot off the press.
You're live.
I'm going to say mine, movies, Silence of the Lambs, will never get tired of it. Mm-hmm. Anthony Hopkins, when he rips open that person, you know, is that a spoiler? I mean, he's a cannibal. Hannah the cannibal.
Surprise, surprise. He eats people.
What? And then for books, I don't know. Something long. Maybe I would bring like Finnegan's Wake because then I would actually have to read it.
I think you and I had this conversation about like how you would bring something that you've always meant to read but don't really want to. Which I think just speaks so much to who you are. Where
it's like the only opportunity I would ever have like that and like maybe like Brothers Karamazov.
Yeah,
I think I'm gonna read Crime and Punishment, but maybe Crime and Punishment.
Those are not what I would choose.
Like you're stranded on a desert island. Like
I would be like, I'm stranded on a desert island, give me all the fluff because I don't want, I mean, I have enough troubles in the world. I don't need to be struggling through Swan's Way.
True. Yeah, I don't need any of Proust on the desert island. Maybe I would do some things past. Who knows?
I think
go ahead.
Oh, sorry. No, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Maybe grab like a Boy Scouts handbook or something. Green Beret handbook. Just so you know how to like build shelter and shit.
That's very practical. Wow. I was just thinking I was doing The Priory of the Orange Tree because I've been meaning to read that. It's like a 2,000 page book, but it's also a fantasy. So I feel like that would be one that would I'd take my time with. I'd probably reread it a few times.
Imagine we each get stranded on a desert island with each other's picks for desert island.
I would simply choose to die.
You would burn up those pages. That's okay. Use those babies for fuel. So what was your favorite undergraduate English class and favorite undergraduate reads both in and outside of the classroom? I think my favorite undergraduate class, I took a class that was all about Nabokov and Alfred Hitchcock, where we read a book one week and then the next week we'd watch a film and that cycle would just continue. That was really fun. And then also for undergraduate classes, we took our senior seminar together, which was on Devils and Angels, which was really, really fun. Got to read Blood Meridian and No Exit for that one.
And Paradise Lost. I was going to mention that as my favorite undergrad class because I really enjoyed that class. It was my favorite professor. Also just enjoyed the Milton class. I love that class. I took it as an undergrad and then we sat in on it and joined it again as postgraduate students.
So I can't believe I sat in on a Milton class. Yikes.
Glad we
should we maybe include a class from graduate school here that we really liked too, or
expand the
question a little bit?
Yeah, go ahead.
For graduate school, I took a Women of 1928 class, which was primarily female identifying authors from the modernist period. That was a great class, read a lot of queer female authors from that time, which is something that I'm really passionate about, as well as we had to read some D.H. Lawrence. I don't know why. It was terrible. And then also I took a class on film noir and detective fiction, which was just so much fun reading Pulp Fiction. And it was with my memoir who also taught the Alfred Hitchcock and Nabokov class. So he's my guy. We're pretty close.
I loved grad school, but I just didn't necessarily like the modules I took just because it was a different format. So like most of my year was more focused on my dissertation, but I think my favorite class was I took a medieval manuscripts class and like the ancient signs, which I took kind of like to expand my readership and to like build up that knowledge. And I was surprised by like genuinely interesting the texts were to me, and just like the making of a manuscript and was really interesting. And the opportunity to handle really, really old books was my favorite part.
So, so cool. Okay. And then do you have a favorite book from undergrad that you read for a class or outside of class?
Favorite book? I'm sure I do. Just struggling. Maybe, I know I'm like a broken record, but Paradise Lost. It was like,
I mean, it's your book. That's okay. Yeah,
really important to me as an undergrad student.
I'm going to say for undergrad, for me, for books that I read for the first time, probably Blood Meridian. It keeps coming up. Blood Meridian, I read that for the first time. Wait, no, I had read that the summer before. So I had read it during undergrad. I really love that one. I love Cormac McCarthy. And then also I had to read No Exit, which is another favorite of mine. Really, really love that play. And also one of the few plays that I was able to read while in undergrad, because we didn't really get to experience many.
Yeah. Should we do one more and then call it? What is one book that you wish you could unread?
That's my friend Madison asking that one. That's a great one. I'm going to say Bleak House, or what's that? Dark Places. Or I really also did not like Great Believers at all. I'm going to say those are my three. I know you said one, Madison, but I said Bleak House is my number one. And then those are my follow up.
Yeah, there are a lot of books, I'm sure. The first one that comes to mind, though, is The Wife Upstairs that just came out this year. That was like a modern retelling of Jane Eyre. I'm sorry, if you like this book, this isn't like a criticism. I just genuinely hated reading that book. I thought it was absolute garbage. I just like, it was such a waste of my time. I wish I hadn't finished it. I should have DNF'd it. And I think it just like really validated my desire to DNF in general, where I was like, this was not rewarding one bit.
That's totally fair. Surprising that you read that one before reading Wide Sargasso Sea.
Well, this was an audiobook. I was like, this will be more casual with like Wide Sargasso Sea. I was like more committed to
intense one.
Yeah. Engaging with more deeply.
Mm-hmm. Still got to read that one too. Mm-hmm. You'll love it. Jean Rees does it like nobody else when it comes to depressing content. Yeah. I'm just like trying to think back to all the books that I've disliked. And again, like, I feel like I'm so picky with, and like, I'm such a mood reader when it comes to like actually picking what I'm going to read, that I don't read a lot of stuff that I dislike. Maybe like throw The Fairy Queen in there, because I had to read that for school. Yeah. I'm just like not wild about that period. Could get rid of like some of the Shakespeare.
That's fair. I feel like that's super fair.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that was our Q&A. We hope that you enjoyed it. We had a lot of really great questions, some that we were not able to get to, so we're sorry if we could not answer your question. Again, just message us if you want to ask us anything, and we can respond to you directly if you'd like. So reach out, we're always here. You can find us on Instagram at bookdumbpodcasts.
And you can find us individually as well on Instagram. I'm Kendra at Kendra Lapp.
And you can find me, August, at Iggy Poop.
Yeah, and wherever you're listening, please do. I hope you feel inspired to rate, review, and subscribe. So especially on Apple Podcasts, if you can give us a 5-star review and a written review, that just helps other people find our podcast. If you want to leave us a little sweet note, that always makes our day. And with Spotify, you can't do that. I wish you could. But if you have any feedback, you can definitely connect to us or connect with us over Instagram.
Yeah, just reach out. We're always here. Excited to hear from you in any way. So we're not going to be doing the next week on episodes, because if you hadn't noticed, the last couple of weeks we've been off because Kendra's had a new job. I've had school. Things are a little wild, but we're still going to have content every Monday. You just might not know in advance what it's going to be. So
because we might not know in advance what it's going to be.
Yeah. Life is chaotic. So give us some space. But we appreciate you guys listening. Thank you so much for listening as always. And we hope that you're having a great day.
Bye.